Would you all welcome somebody that really needs no introduction, really? Maybe kind of. Gary Timmer.
Good morning. It is my honor and my privilege to be here. If you're visiting with us, and if you visited last week for the first time, you heard, come back next week, and you'll see this really cool pastor and hear him, and that's not me. So come back next week, and Pastor West should be back. Keep on coming. Uh-oh, my notes are, there's nothing there. Oh, wait a minute, I opened it the wrong way, so I guess I'm okay. Let's have some fun today, okay? I'm gonna do my best to have some fun. So in case I don't see anyone that's visiting with us in person, but maybe online, so I've just got a few things. I already said that. I'm not the regular speaker. So come back again. If you like today and you like the message today, come back every week. I like to say that too, because you never know when I'll be back up here. Last time was January, so come back. I do, again, it is an honor, it's a privilege for me to be here and speak. I really don't take it lightly. I have a lazy eye, my left eye, so I can look two places at one time. I always like to make sure I get that out of the way. I'm not over here, you folks. I'm not staring you down. Okay, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but it's not on purpose. So today, coming up with a title for today was a challenge, and I've got coming up for the message today was easy. It's almost scary. It was so easy for me to come up with. And one of the things that was really cool, I texted Pastor Josh this morning, and asked him if he could play a certain song for the altar call today. And he said it's already on the list. And I thought, well, that's God. Yes, amen. So some titles I kicked around is. Where does my help come from? Psalm 121. God never sleeps. Walking with confidence, walking with the confidence of a mountain goat. And if I don't know if you've ever watched a mountain goat or seen mountain goats, but I mean, the cliff can be. It's like a rock cliff. There's nothing there to grab onto. There's nothing, and they just walk right up the side of this mountain. I mean, to have that confidence to be able to walk as a Christian with that kind of confidence that a mountain goat walks, how awesome would that be? Trust the world or the maker of it, or walk by faith and not by sight. So. The title of today's message is Help for Life's Journey, and I think that's appropriate. So let's start with our Bible declaration. And hold your Bibles high as you know how to do, and repeat with me, and I'm going to do my best to read it. And I know the last couple times when I just kind of go by memory and I mess it up, so I'm actually going to try to read it today. So this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go and let's go. So I'm actually, and Pastor Josh already talked about the 100th anniversary, and I had a little bit in my notes about that, so I can skip over that a little bit. But I'm really blessed that about 25 years ago, I had a pretty radical conversion, and as I was thinking about messages for today and messages to come, a lot of things came through my mind. One of them is at some point to give my testimony, and I hope at some point I'll be able to do that. And about the conversion and about some of the other things that the Lord has done, you know, in me and very blessed to say through me as well. When I was first born again, I really believed that I was called to full-time ministry, and really started to do a lot of things that would prepare me for that in a short period of time. And then I realized that I absolutely was called to full-time ministry, but it was in the workplace. And that was a twist. And I actually, that's a story in itself, very interesting how that came about. But prior to being born again, I worked in a very small facility with two other people. And shortly after I was born again, there was this very popular prayer called the Prayer of Jabez. And the Prayer of Jabez, it's really short. It's found in 1 Chronicles 4:10. And it very simply says, Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And when that prayer came out, I prayed that really hard and often. And today, again, 25 years later, I find myself having a global sphere of influence. My territory has changed from that small facility in Muskegon to seriously meeting and working with people on every continent in the world, which is pretty cool. So I feel very, very good and very confident that I made that right choice to stay in full-time ministry, but in the workplace. And then something that happened that was kind of neat here, and it actually happened about the time of Central Assembly's 75th anniversary, we were there for the celebration, and I actually for the very first time really didn't even meet Pastor Wes and Serena, but I got to pray with them. They invited lots of different pastors to come, lots of different pastors to speak, and during the altar time and during prayer ministry, the Lord spoke to me and actually suggested to me that I pray with them as their partner, and I did so as their prayer partner. Still did not meet them, and then again as we go, at some point we'll share all the details, but to make it short, April and I are now in our 23rd year of our 18-month commitment to come here to help with the church. And very glad to be here. All right, that is more than enough about me. So let's turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 121. You know, some of the other, while you're turning there, some of the other thoughts for messages that I would really like to give is on giving, as the treasure for the church and as things that I've seen the Lord do in my life. I have a burden and a passion to do that, and that may come at some point. Also for worship. I love to worship. And today was amazing. Yes. All right, are you there? Psalm 121. Yes. And we're going to read the whole thing. It's not very long. I learned last time I spoke, I had like 20 pages of notes and went through about 3 years worth of Paul's life, and that was just way too much to try to cram into one message. That should have been about a 10-part series, so we're dialing it back today for just eight verses. So Psalm 121, and I'm reading out of the NIV, and it is up on the screen behind me. It says, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." And let's pray. This is usually where I get called up to pray. I get to pray for myself today. This is good. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I do absolutely believe that you're orchestrating today, God, and I pray that you would continue to do so. If there's things in my notes that you don't want me to say, Lord, I pray that I wouldn't say them. If there are things that aren't in the notes that you want me to say, God, I know that you are big enough to make it happen. Father, we do pray for Pastor Wes and Serena today. God, as they are ministered to at Central Assembly, and God, I pray for all in that service today as well, that you would just touch them, Father, and I just thank you that you are the God of and the creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord, and our God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 21 is in a group of psalms that are called the ascents, and another kind of term for that would be pilgrim song. So, you know, a lot of when the Hebrews were traveling, they had a lot of songs that they would sing when they were traveling and going from place to place. The song centered around God's provision and providing for them as they would go on those different journeys. So I have a few questions that I'd like to get started with. The first one is name a challenge or challenges you face right now. Just put in your notes. What's a challenge or some challenges that you may be facing right now? They could be financial, relational, maybe it's car problems. It could be your health. It could be things at work. Could be a struggle with sin, right? We're all sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. But maybe you got one that you're just struggling with. Could be attitudes. How's your attitude? What's a challenge or a challenge that you face right now? Question two. What's your first reaction when these things come to mind? When you're faced with one of those challenges, what's the first thing? Is it stress? Is it anger? Is it hurt? Maybe depression, anxiety, fear, sickness? Or when you're confronted with those, are you able to just cast your cares off on the Lord? Question number three, who, what, or where do you go for your help? Do you go to family? Do you go to friends? Social media? You know, it could be drugs or alcohol. I put the term pinballing. And I'm probably dating myself a little bit now with pinballing, okay? But in a pinball machine, before we had, you know, Atari 2600. A pinball was this great big thing that you'd have to go and drop. Actually, I remember dropping dimes in them. I'm that old. And then quarters. And then it ended up being like dollars of quarters that you'd have to drop in. And now you probably have to, if they have them still, you probably swipe it. But a pinball, you'd have a couple of paddles and there'd be the steel ball inside. Great big shot, like a shot ball, about that big, and it would just spin around and bounce off bumpers and stuff like that, and you'd have these paddles that you could try to keep it moving and keep it going, and it would just keep on going around and around and around and around. So that's my thought, is where do you go for your help? Are you pinballing? You know, are you just bouncing all over the place, trying to figure out where to go, who to touch, where to get touched? You know, that's pinballing. Or some other outlet that I may not have even thought of, you know. Or do you just go to God when you're faced with a challenge? Do you just go to God? And I know there are some folks that are able to do that, and some that can. But I also know that there's some of us, and even from time to time, that He's not our first thought and not place the first place to go. So as we dig into Psalm 121. I want to talk through some of those verses and how we can apply it to our lives and how that verse is applied, you know, at the time to the Israelites as they traveled around. So the Psalm 121 really celebrates God's care for his people. You know, it really was used to help them direct their thoughts and direct their energy on where they would go in times of trouble and where they would go when their minds would start to think about it. And through that psalm, you know, God showing that he's always caring for us. And again, we're gonna break it down verse by verse as we go. So verse 1, it says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Some translations read as, shall I lift my eyes to the hills? Where does my help come from? Where does it come from? The psalmist is asking. It doesn't come from the earth. It doesn't come from the flesh or from anything that I can really look at. Those things will never come through for me. The things of the world can't provide the help that we need. Our help must come from someone else or something else. Often we search for help in the wrong places, right? That we kind of talked about that in the questions. Sometimes we look at the culture and we say, oh, well, that, you know, it's our culture we're in right now. Sometimes we look to politicians, which is getting more and more, I don't know what the best word is, but, one of the awesome things about being in the United States is that it is a free country, and everyone has their right to do what they, within the laws, do what they want to do and believe what they want to believe and follow who they want to follow. That is our right as citizens of the United States. But if I had my choice to go to a politician for help or go to God, I think I would choose God first. Because again, they can't provide us what we actually need. So now I'm going to meddle a little bit and make maybe a little more point blank question that again, I asked the question and I hope you actually did write it down, but where do you go? Where do you go? You know, is it family? Is it friends? Is it social media? Are you pinballing? Or is it to God? Next, let's just kind of go on the journey and figure it out as we continue through the psalm. Psalm 121, verse 2, it says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It quickly answers the question, where our help comes from. You know, I know that if he can create the heavens and the earth, every time I walk away, that means I'm going off my notes. But I don't want to just sit and read them, but I think there's a lot of good, important things in there. But if he can make the heavens and the earth, can't he deal with what we're dealing with? Isn't he bigger than that? I mean, can you imagine, and maybe you know, maybe you've researched it, but all of the things that God had to put in place for the earth, for creation, for the earth, so that we don't, I mean, we are at the perfect distance from the sun where we don't freeze and we don't burn up. Right? I mean, it would just a little bit off and we would be toast, burnt toast, right? Or we'd be an icicle. I mean, how perfect that is, right? Surely he can deal with anything I'm going through. But how often do I acknowledge that? God, you're the creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, our head should explode when we think about that. At what he put together. the picture that it paints for us in the psalm is really the Israelites walking for the temple. It's to imagine that God's providing that firm ground for them to walk on. You know, as I talked earlier about the mountain goat, right? They're looking at this mountain. Jerusalem is up high. When they're looking at that mountain, they're saying, I'm headed there. I'm going to ascend that mountain, right? So that's the mountain that they're facing with when the psalmist asks the question. You know, the things that we're dealing with on earth are the mountains that we're facing at the same time. Verse 3 says, I will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. And again, that's really that, and I skipped a little bit, but that's the picture of where we're going and knowing that God is going to provide the way for us to get through there. It also talks about how God doesn't take a break from it. He doesn't take a break from us. He doesn't take a break from caring for us. It says he'll never slumber in verse 3. You know, when it was dark, God was watching. When it was daylight, God was watching. Each step of the way, and the psalmist shows his provision as they travel. Verse 4, it says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And so there the psalmist expands it and expands the God's scope. It says God isn't just watching him. Says he watches over Israel. Not just watching over the psalmist, but watching over all of Israel. Right? So it's not just for him, it's for all of us. Watching over the whole nation. And again, he reiterates that God doesn't slumber and God doesn't sleep. You know, Israel was continually attacked, right? If you read through the Bible, it's attack after attack after attack. And you also can read through and you know that whenever God was in their battle, they won. I love David. You know, David's the heart of David is a man after God's own heart, and I really liked to read of David and all of his mess ups and how he was able to get back to right standing with God, and then he'd trip up again and he would get back to right standing with God and to show that that David, you know, I can be like David. Right? It doesn't matter. God's there. He's waiting for me to come back. He's waiting to pick me up. So, again, as Israel was continually attacked, constantly under threat from the enemy, but God wouldn't sleep. He was on constant watch over his people. And then we have to ask ourselves, and I ask myself, and I ask you, you know, can you say the same thing for who or what you've been putting your trust in? Do you put your trust in God or other things? This was question 3, right? Who do you put your trust in question 3? Similar to Israel, we have an enemy that's prowling like a lion waiting to devour us, but we also have a God who's always watching over us. He's not sleeping on the job, and he will protect us. Verse 5, it says, the Lord watches over us. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. In Psalm 121:5, sorry, the psalmist is describing God as our protector. Remember the image of the passage, right? They're ascending up to the mountain, to the temple. It can be treacherous, but God's watching over his people. And God protects them like a shepherd. And I love the series we're in right now with the 23rd Psalm and what we're learning about the Psalm and God is our shepherd, and he does watch over us as that shepherd. And if he's not going to sleep, you know, the danger's not going to overtake us at night when we're asleep either. Verse 6, it says, the sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The psalmist is describing physical elements that they are exposed to, the Israelites, or that we are exposed to now on our journey. And it might seem a little repetitive, and I thought that as we were going through it, right? He doesn't slumber. Well, he doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. You know, I mean, it just kind of goes on. And you know, and now it's not going to, you know, by day and by night, he's with us. It is. It's very repetitive. But how much of that really is the reassurance that the Word is, and God through his Word is trying to get to us, that, hey, I mean this, right? Yes, I mean it in this circumstance. Yes, I mean it in this circumstance. You know, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to slumber. I'm with you at night. I'm with you in the day, right? I will protect you. I'll protect you when you're out under the sun. I'll protect you when you're with the moon. He will protect you. It just doesn't matter. It says, but at this point, something that we have to constantly repeat at times, while the psalm is constantly repeating how he's going to provide for us, is thanking him for that provision. You know, and I, you know, I've listened to a lot of what would be called or considered faith preachers, and you know, many times they'll say, you know, say it once, declare it, stand on it, that's it, be done with it. I consider myself to be a faith person, and I will stand on it, I will accept it, and I will continue to do that until I see it through. And even after the fact, after I see it through, then I'm going to continue to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Right? There are many, many scriptures in the Bible where you know, that provision came after a certain time. And you know, God's Word, one of the scriptures that stands out the most right now is ask and keep on asking. So yes, ask, believe, ask in faith, stand on it in faith. Thank you for your word, God. I believe it, I accept it, I receive it, and I am going to continue to do so. And then, God, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to testify once it comes through. You know, say thank you for your healing or your good health. Thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for financial prosperity. See, I got to talk about giving, I got to talk about healing, I got to talk about a little bit about testimony, all those things here. Thank him for deliverance. Thank you for restored relationships. Gosh, before you see them restored, continue to thank him for them. Before you see that healing, thank you for the healing. God, I know it's my right. And thank you for favor with, you know, whoever or whatever I need favor with. It's important that in our faith we continue to remind ourselves of what God has done for us. I guess when you know what he's done for you and you can remember what he's already done for you, the next thing that you're counting on him to do should become easier and easier and easier. Right? When you thank him for the little things and you remember the little things and they can get bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes you'll get that big thing and then the easy things seem like almost nothing. But he still wants us to come to him for the little things. Psalm 121:7, it says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The image here is God who cares deeply for his people. He doesn't just want them to worship him, which he does want us to worship him, but not just worship him. Right? He wants to care and provide for them. He concerns himself with what we are doing, and through experiencing it, he doesn't distance. He does not get distant. You know, he's always present. in the Lord's Prayer, and that's another message, and I was able to provide that one years ago, and at some point may be able to do it again. But how to you know, pray using the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew 6:10 in the NIV, it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is not, you know, I've heard over the years people say, oh, whatever God's will is. Okay? And you know what? That's a very powerful thing to say. And we should all grab a hold of that and grasp that and say, yes, whatever God's will is, that's what I want. God, I want your will. Lord, I want your will. Your will is that I be set free, God, and that's what I want. And that's what I'm going to stand for. I'm going to continue to go for it. Lord, until I am free, Lord, or when I am free, I'm going to thank you for it. But I believe your will is that I would be free. God, I believe that I would be the head and not the tail. God, that I would stand apart, Lord, that I will be healed, Lord. I believe that's your will. And God, that's the will that I'm going to stand on. It's not a passive thing. It's an aggressive thing. It's knowing what God's will is for your life and you know, thanking him for it and going after it and grabbing a hold of it and getting it. Just as on earth as it is in heaven. Again, going back, remember what it's like on earth, what it's like on heaven. What are God's promises for all of us forever? And I guess to be even more boldly, it's will of God come. Will of God be done. And that really is true for us today. He's watching over us. We don't need to worry because the creator of the universe cares about us. The creator of the universe cares about you. We should not be passive where that's concerned. Psalm 121:8, it says, the Lord will watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore. The psalm was often recited to Jews traveling to Jerusalem for one of the annual festivals, but the promise of this psalm isn't just during their travels. It ends by affirming that God is watching over his people all the time. It's a continuing theme found in the message of Psalm 121 that we really shouldn't miss. He's watching over us all the time. He is always there. Always there. Always everywhere. You know, if you think about the miracle of creating the heavens and the earth, think about the miracle of being everywhere all the time. And that's one. If you ever get to wrap your mind around that one, please share with me. So how do we apply this to our lives? It was a powerful reminder for the Jews who traveled to Jerusalem, and today, you know, we're all on a journey through life. The promises in this passage are ones that we should still hang on to. So what does God promise to do? He promises to protect you, to protect me, to protect us, to watch over us as we journey through the day, as we journey through the night. God is watching over us. Now, that doesn't mean, and you know, if you've been a Christian for any period of time, you know that it doesn't mean that we're never going to face trials. We're never going to face tribulations, right? The Bible is very clear that we will. But this scripture tells us that even when we do face those trials and we face those tribulations, that God is with us. He'll see us through it. His hand is upon us. His eye is upon us. We're not alone as we go through those things. But one of the good things is we go through them. Right? We don't have to get stuck in them. We can go through them. But God is with us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. You know, and that he will deliver us from whatever we're facing. You know, it may be in this life, it may be in eternity. I've got a lot of questions when I get to heaven. The meaning of the psalm is it's an incredible blessing and a reminder. It's the words that followers of Jesus should hang on to. We need to remind ourselves and encourage others with it. So I encourage each of us today to take the words, remind ourselves, and don't lose sight of that God is with us and that God cares for us. Remember the promise that the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And Pastor Josh and the praise team, if you'd come up. And while they're coming up, excuse me, with every head bowed and eye closed, please, so nobody's looking around. When I asked the questions earlier, and you answered them, I asked the name, you know, where do you go? What's the name of where you go, or who do you go to? And if you listed any other name other than being able to cast your cares on God or being able to go to God, for the challenges that you face right now, whether they're financial, relational, car problems, you know, health, work, struggling with sin or attitude, if your first reaction is those things, stress, anger, hurt, depression, anxiety, fear, sickness, you know, not being able to cast your cares off on God, if the first place you go for help is family, friends, you know, social media, the government, you know, different substances, drugs, alcohol, or if you're pinballing, or others, other outlets that you know, again, maybe I didn't even think of, you know, if you're not going right to God, please raise your hand so we can pray together. If you want, instead of going to those other things or doing those other things, if you just want to go to God, raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you care for us, Lord, that night or day, you don't sleep, God, you don't slumber. God, you care for us always, Lord. Our coming in, our going out, Lord, you've got it. You've got our backs. You've got our fronts, Lord. You make a way before we go, and you cover us as we're going through it. Father, I pray that from now on, Lord, you would be the first one that we would go to. God, that we would remember Psalm 121, God, that you've got us covered. And Lord, that we would put our trust in you as our God. Father, we acknowledge that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord, and that any thing that we are up against is nothing compared to that. God, I thank you for your help. I thank you for your provision, God. I thank you that you, God, that you can change the way we think, the way we look at those mountains, and know that you're right there with us, God, and that you're helping us to get through them, and that we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And the praise team is going to pray a song. If you want to come to the altar to help seal it, if you want to come to the altar, if you have any prayer needs, prayer partners, please come. No doubt in my mind, the creator of the heavens and the earth is here today. And we should ask, and we should believe. Don't not come to the altar. I'm not sure if that's the proper way to say that. Come to the altar. If you need anything, come to the altar. But seal it. Seal today.